Two lawmakers from opposite ends of the political spectrum found common ground about one step Congress can take to build back trust in government. They decided it's time to remove any questions about whether the 535 members of the House and Senate are using what they learn on the job to pad their investment portfolios. NPR's Deirdre Walsh, who covers Congress, reports that the bipartisan duo's effort to ban stock trading is forcing leaders to take notice.
Republican Chip Roy arrived in Democrat Abigail Spanberger's office in the Longworth House Office Building.
Hello,
sir.
How are y'all?
Roy, a conservative from Texas, and Spanberger, a moderate Virginian, didn't campaign on the same issues. Both were elected in 2018, but they found out they had something in common. Since they were in her office, Roy let Spanberger start the story.
Home team.
One day he was wearing a UVA tie,
yeah.
And so I commented on the UVA tie. From there, you know.
And having gone to the University of Virginia, lived in Richmond, got great friends in that city still to this day.
I represent many of
That's
his
right.
dearest friends.
They also learned they shared the same birthday and love of their alma mater's basketball team. Roy bristles a bit at the narrative that they're political polar opposites.
I mean, we disagree on a lot, but we agree on a lot, too. There's a number of things that we're trying to come together and sit over beer, literally, and solve some problems.
The problem they believe needs fixing now is the perception that members of Congress are making money in the stock market because of inside information they learn in briefings or committee meetings. There's a 10-year-old law already on the books called the Stock Act, which requires lawmakers to disclose stock trades within 45 days. But Spanberger says that approach doesn't work.
It's not just enough to know what members are buying or selling. It's that they shouldn't be buying or selling.
Roy says lawmakers just have an inherent conflict of interest.
If you are buying calls on Google, how can the American people have confidence that you're going to make a truly objective policy decision on the size and scope of Google with respect to antitrust questions, for example?
Roy points to his own experience. He had an investment in a pipeline that ran through his district, but he opposed something they were doing and was part of discussions to address it. And he thought maybe he should sell his shares.
But then I called ethics and I said, wait a second, I'm beating them up now publicly. So if I unload it now, it looks like I'm kind of gaming it while I'm trying to beat them up. So I ended up kind of sitting on it, which I think was actually to my financial detriment. But that's neither here nor there to this point. My point is we shouldn't be in that box.
The pair says their bill wouldn't prevent lawmakers from investing.
None of this would stop you from being able to engage in free enterprise in the free market and being able to continue to hold your investments. All we're saying is put it in a blind trust, or be in broadly traded index funds.
Saying that we want to affirmatively ensure that the American people can have trust in us and the decisions we're making, and therefore we cannot own individual stocks or we have to put it in a blind trust, that to me is a choice you make when you choose to run for this office.
Their legislation would not only bar lawmakers from picking individual stocks, it would extend the ban to their spouses and dependent children. Spanberger argues it's just common sense.
It eludes me as a possibility that someone would say to the American people, oh, no. My spouse, like that, my spouse makes all his own decisions just because I'm in COVID briefings. Ignore the fact that when a pandemic's starting, he's buying stocks in insert pharmaceutical company name, right? Like people are going to say you're insulting my intelligence, right? It's bad if you do it. It's bad if they do it.
Roy says if members have concerns, they're open to tweaks to the legislation.
We can solve this problem. This isn't curing cancer, right? I mean, we could just sit down, figure out a solution that we think works, and then you can always amend it later.
I think we have locked ourselves in a place in Congress where if we don't think that you've got all the votes that you need, or
right.
if people are still, well,
then
I don't like this provision,
forward.
You can't bring it forward. And so you lock out legislation and public debate.
More lawmakers are signing on to their bill, but there's still no guarantee it will advance. Others on Capitol Hill are proposing similar legislation, and congressional leaders are signaling they're open to the idea. Both Spanberger and Roy say it's one issue voters from both parties agree on.
Of all the issues that I talk about, this one gets one of the most positive reactions across the ideological spectrum, whether I'm in downtown Austin or in fire-breathing hill country. And almost like, really? Why has that already been done?
People are coming up to me and saying, oh my gosh, I was reading about that bill. That to me is really notable because I may be sort of deep and wonky on the legislation I'm working on, but usually...
And you are.
Oh, thank you. But this is a place where the reaction is visceral.
They say making this reform is an easy way to make it clear lawmakers make decisions without any ulterior motive.
It's a chance for us to say, when I'm working on legislation, when I'm taking a vote, when I'm in a briefing, I'm not thinking, oh, let me... let me wonder how this could benefit me financially. I'm thinking about how do I serve my constituents. People deserve to know that we are working for them first and foremost and not our own financial, you know, stock portfolios.
Yeah, I think this would be a very simple statement that you shouldn't be able to get wealthy on the back of the job you are carrying out on behalf of the people you represent.
One point Roy and Spanberger make is the process they use to develop the bill, talking across the aisle and being open to changes, is the same one they think needs to happen more in Washington. Deirdre Walsh, NPR News.